Welcome to the Armada EW podcast with your host Tom Withington at the controls. Taking its name from film and TV icon Farrah Fawcett, America's Farrah SIGINT satellites were launched from 1982. That same year, the UK deployed forces to the South Atlantic to liberate the Falkland Islands from Argentine control following their invasion on 2nd of April. A recent article by space expert Dwayne Day contained a startling revelation. These Farrah satellites provided signals intelligence to British forces in the South Atlantic. Dwayne is a space historian and an old friend of the EW podcast, having joined us earlier this year to talk about Cold War space signals intelligence. He joins us once more from the east coast of the US. Dwayne, good to have you back. Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here.
Let's start by talking about the Farrah satellites themselves. I understand these were developed as part of a larger effort called Program 989.
Yeah, so Program 989 started in the early 1960s as a method of obtaining electronic intelligence data from the Soviet Union. These satellites were carried as they were essentially hitchhikers on other satellites. So the United States would launch a reconnaissance satellite, a photographic reconnaissance satellite, into a polar orbit. And then one of these satellites would be mounted to the rear of the main satellite and would be pushed off with springs. And then it would fire a small rocket motor and go into a higher orbit. And from that higher orbit, as it crossed over the Soviet Union, it would record signals from various radar systems. They did some communications intelligence using these kinds of satellites, but it was primarily focused on radars, and they would record that information on tape recorders. And then when the satellite came over a ground station in the United States, which was usually within an hour, they would play back that information and it would be processed on the ground. So the satellites were launched generally about 2 or 3 a year throughout the 1960s. And then that dropped substantially in the 1970s to the point where they were launching them about one a year throughout the 70s and into the 80s. The satellites were pretty small. They were the size of a, let's say, a large suitcase. And they're the shape of a suitcase, really. They were pretty flat and rectangular. If you imagine a suitcase, if you lay it down on the ground and you spin it around on the ground, that's how they spun in orbit. Imagine that up is the direction of flight. So the satellite is flying around the Earth. It's spinning perpendicular to its direction of flight. And then sticking out of the sides of these satellites were a bunch of antennas. And the antennas, as the satellite spun around, usually at about 90 RPM, as they spun around, those antennas would sweep across the Earth. And so you could imagine an antenna sweeping across the face of the Earth. And then as it headed up towards the sky, another antenna was moving down and sweeping across the Earth. And they'd pick up their signals this way. So the satellites generally lasted anywhere from, say, 9 months to a year. That lifetime increased quite a bit starting in the 1970s. And that was one of the reasons why the launch rate went down. And these satellites were really, they were part of a much bigger electronic intelligence collection effort from space. And by the 1970s, the United States was also launching larger satellites into much higher orbits that were doing some of the same missions, and they were taking over the missions of the 989 satellites. But they were also adding missions, like collecting telemetry from Soviet rocket launches and also gathering communications intelligence, which is much easier to do when you're in a higher orbit and you can collect the signals over a long period of time. And you can just imagine how hard it is to collect communications when you're just, you know, you're speeding past the emitter and only getting a snippet of the communications. So the 989 satellites became less important by the 70s and into the 80s, but they still had a role to play. And that's why they were still being launched really up until the very early 1990s.
So the first Pharos satellite was launched on the 11th of May 1982, I believe, in the middle of the Falklands War. Did the UK ask the US for SIGINT satellite assistance, or was this offered? How did that arrangement work?
So to give your listeners a little bit of background, Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands in early April 1982. And it took a few days for the British government to determine what they were going to do about it. You know, were they going to try and recover the islands through diplomatic means, or were they going to send down a naval force and Marines and try to retake the islands? The history of U.S. United Kingdom relations during that period is still somewhat mired in secrecy. It's clear, you know, there have been misconceptions that the United States didn't do a lot to help the UK. And those misconceptions have been, were due in part to the fact that publicly the United States said that it was going to try and work to negotiate between the two countries. But in secret, the U.S. said to the British government, you know, we will support you. You know, whatever you want, we'll support you. And there are indications that the U.K. said, well, we need weapons. In particular, they wanted the latest version of the Sidewinder air-to-air missile. And they also wanted intelligence. And the United States did provide intelligence data. We didn't have a lot of assets down in that part of the world, but we did have some capabilities. And based upon what little has come out about that later on, it's clear that the U.S. provided the data that was requested, but that the U.K. never, you know, they wanted more. They always wanted more. And eventually they determined after the war was over that they needed to somehow increase their ability to gather intelligence, either through the United States and its extensive assets, or by developing their own systems, by developing their own overhead intelligence collection systems. So they were asking, they were definitely asking, and the U.S. started providing.
Regarding the Pharos satellites themselves and the other U.S. SIGINT satellites that you talked about just now, what role did they actually play during the Falklands War?
So we don't have a lot of data on that. What has come out, what came out really well over a decade ago, is that the United States had a very high altitude system that was mostly devoted to communications intelligence, and this system was apparently somewhere over the Atlantic. Now that it puts it pretty far north of the Falklands, but it probably had a footprint that included Argentina. And there are indications that the United States made available the tasking, the ability to task that satellite to gather information coming out of Argentina. What that information was, where it was going, we don't know. We do know that the British considered that to be a valuable asset. The more recent revelation is that this Pharos satellite was made available to the British forces, and that it collected data. It's not quite clear what, but that it also collected data. Now, the Pharos was in a pretty low orbit, and that means that it doesn't spend a lot of time over the over its target, and also, because of where it was, that data was not being relayed in real time. You had to wait for it. So it flew over Argentina, or it flew over that area of the South Atlantic. It collected signals, and then it had to come all the way around over the poles, and then when it flew over the United States, that data was replayed and, you know, sent down to a ground station. And from there, it could be distributed. So it wasn't like a, you know, you weren't getting, there was a delay. Whatever was being collected came in as a, you know, hours later. Now, there was a satellite that was launched a few years earlier that was the same type of satellite. And that this one was called Ursula. And it was named after the actress Ursula Andress, the Bond girl. I think many people would consider her the first Bond girl. And that satellite may have also been operating at this time. I don't have any information on that other than I was told by somebody who was in the program at a fairly senior level that he believed that location data provided by that satellite may have been used to locate the Argentine cruiser, General Belgrano, and that data may have been provided to the Royal Navy, which then in early May used a submarine to sink the Belgrano.
What happened to the FARA satellites and the other satellites from the Program 989 initiative after the Falklands War?
So FARA was launched on May 11, 1982. And to provide a little bit of context, so as I said, the Argentines invaded in early April. The Belgrano was sunk in early May. I believe it was the 2nd of May. And the HMS Sheffield was sunk on May 10th. So the war was already raging, particularly at sea, by the time that the FARA satellite got into orbit. And, you know, figure that it probably took a day or so before the satellite became operational. And we don't know exactly how that data was provided to the British. We don't know how it was used. There was a recent article in an aviation history magazine by an author by the name of Chris Gibson, where he uncovered evidence of a proposed long-range strike mission that would have involved RAF Buccaneer aircraft flying tremendous distances down to attack the Argentine aircraft carrier inside of territorial waters. And they then would have landed in Peru. They would have flown across the Argentine territory and come down in friendly territory and probably been interred for the rest of the war. In his article, he noted that in order to target the Argentine aircraft carrier, they would have required some localization data. They would have had to you know, find this thing, because even though it was hugging the coast, it's still a very long coast. And so how would they figure out where this thing was? And because the ship had retreated so close inside territorial waters, and eventually it just went into port and stayed there, Royal Navy submarines couldn't get that close. It was too dangerous, and also it was too shallow. And so he noted in this article that they needed localization data. And one of the things that I think is probable is that they were thinking that they could get this localization data from the United States, probably from the FARA satellite that was then operational. So as I mentioned earlier, these satellites, these Program 989 satellites, when they were first launched, they lasted about 9 months in orbit. They were launched about once a year. By the 1970s, they were lasting 2, 3, even 5 years. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that the Ursula satellite may have been operational, because it was only about 3 years old by the time of the Falklands War. There are indications that FARA lasted at least 10 years or longer. So this satellite was operational into the 1990s. We don't know when it stopped operating. That information remains classified. There were follow-on satellites. There was another FARA launched in 1984, I believe, and that one probably continued operating into the 90s. And then there were several more satellites that were launched after that may have had lifetimes of 15 to 20 years. They reached a point where they just didn't break down. Now, some of them probably died early, soon after their planned lifetimes. But there's, as somebody told me about these things, sometimes they just never failed. They just kept going and going, and they couldn't figure out why some of these things just lasted forever, but they did. Now, that presented a problem for the operators because, you know, you have something that's been flying for 15 years, and imagine all the changes in computer software. So you bring in some young guy who's going to be operating these, and he's using 15 to 20 year old software to keep the satellite flying. But as long as it's providing intelligence, they were not going to shut them off.
Dwayne, it's truly an intriguing subject. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your insight.
Okay, thank you.
You can find a copy of Dwayne's article, Buccaneers of the High Frontier, Program 989 SIGINT Satellites, from the ABM Hunt to the Falklands War to the Space Shuttle, at the website of thespacereview.com. And don't forget, there's more electronic warfare news and analysis at armadainternational.com/electronic-warfare. That's all we've got time for. Thanks for listening.